Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're your political, comedic, and social podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our podcast and page to all your friends, family members, and loved ones, because you truly don't love someone until you spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You're a good guy. We are your hosts of this wonderful, amazing, majestic, wonderful podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your...
Lost there.
I did. I lost a little bit. I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I can tell you that I am going to the LA Rams training facility at the University of California, Irvine, where...
You were doing what at UCI?
I'm going to the LA Rams training camp.
What does that mean?
I'm going to watch the LA Rams train.
Oh, so you can go there but not my class.
I won at work, okay? I won tickets.
You're not allowed on my campus. I'm asking security to remove you.
Well, come and find me then, bitch. I can tell you that... Ali has been bald since the age of 21. And now, to the man in... The bald man. Take it. Fuck it.
My name is Ali Elomi. I was not bald since 20.
I said 21.
Not bald since 21.
When did you start going bald?
I started going bald 23 or so.
Lies.
Yeah, but it went by really fast. It went fast. And then like 27, I shaved it off fully.
Literally, took a day.
I am the classic nerd of the group, and I'd like to bring the background information about the various topics we discuss. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V Tran, your comic book, movie, travel, etc., minutia, whatever nerd. Cover the things that Ali and Diz do not.
So this week we want to spend some time actually talking about... We didn't get to talk about all the stuff we wanted to talk about last week because there's so much to do. I want to start it off really kind of talking about the DNC and the Democratic National Convention.
No, I think you're talking about Dominatrix National Convention.
And specifically Hillary Clinton.
Ooh, Rodham.
We mentioned it, but I think it deserves a far closer look. Yeah. She was nominated as the President of the United States for the Democratic Party.
First woman in history.
First woman to be named to a major party. It's huge. It's historic. And so what did the newspapers do the day after? They said Hillary Clinton, nomination for president, and then they put up pictures of Bill Clinton. So they put up pictures of the wrong Clinton. Not by accident. Bill Clinton spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he kind of reintroduced Hillary to the world. But it just goes to show you, it's like you look at the San Francisco Chronicle, all these different places, it goes, glass ceiling broken. And then it's a picture of
Bill
Clinton.
Can I just say, I didn't really like his speech too much.
Bill Clinton took 45 minutes before he got into the swing of things. Then when he got into the swing of things, he did what he did best. Joe Biden and Bill Clinton are known for their very conversational styles. Unlike Obama, who's considered to be like a polished orator, both Bill Clinton and Biden are kind of known for not being a polished orator. In fact, they kind of have a down-earth, homey feel to them. Biden is often quite famously known for being a gaffe-prone, right? But what it also makes them very effective types of speakers.
Yeah.
Because they are able to reach out to people.
They're really like, grassroots, but they're very like casual.
They yeah. They can talk to middle America.
Like you feel like you're talking to your buddy.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the reason why Obama, when he was running for re-office, basically named him Secretary of Explaining Shit.
Who?
Bill Clinton. Oh. Because what he did is he basically broke down the math of the Romney campaign, and it works. He's able to explain things in a great way. And I think he did that quite well. He's good at making an argument. Now, of course, there are parts that I think he failed on miserably. One, he droned on quite a bit, trying to talk about how he first met her. Understandably so, because part of his job was also humanizing her.
When I saw Monica.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to humanize her. And then, of course, you know, he made that odd remark about Muslims.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
So he said,
if you're a Muslim and you love America
and freedom and hate terror,
you should stay here and help us win.
Yeah, so this is a problem. is that freedom in freedom and Americanness from Muslims are conditional.
Like, where the hell was I supposed to go? I don't understand this. So stay here.
The issue it really is that American Muslims, their value should be inherent.
Right.
It shouldn't be conditional or instrumental, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what purpose we use Muslims for doesn't equal, oh, well, now you get to be an American and stay here. That's not how it works.
As right? opposed to going where, Ali?
They're inherent, like, well, that's the second thing. The assumption is that Islam is foreign. I think they forget that 20% of African slaves were Muslim.
Until you convert them to Christianity.
You force conversion, right? It's like, don't. Like, this is something that's often forgotten, is that Islam has been in America from the beginning. We know this because, guess what? The founding fathers referenced Muslims.
Thomas Jefferson,
a lot of them, right? So they were all they openly referenced Muslims. And also the Muslim country of Morocco was the first country to recognize
the United States. Yep.
So there was an interesting relationship there. But yeah, I think he definitely... He messed up there. I don't think he messed up. I think a lot of people were offended, but I think it really speaks to who his audience is, and his audience is what?
White America.
Yeah, anxious white liberals who are, they're not, they think themselves better than conservatives because they're liberals.
Uh-huh.
We're not. We don't discriminate against Muslims, but they're still, they have like the same ideas. So like, what, like white liberals will go, how dare you talk about banning Muslims? But in the same breath, we'll talk about, well, Islam needs a reformation, right?
Yeah,
it's,
like, yeah.
It's a different, they still are.
It's a different type of racism.
It's a different type of racism.
It's a more like it's a
micro,
covert.
It's microaggression, casual racism versus like outright bigotry and persecution.
Yeah.
This is what it's coming down to.
I think it's kind of, it's like, I always consider the difference between, you know, I've had that happen in the restaurant when I worked before.
Yeah.
Someone assuming that I was a sushi chef at the sushi bar that I worked at, as opposed to the lady calling me calling me an Oriental.
Yeah.
It's the manager, you know, like, an Oriental like you.
Yeah, you know, like, that's just kind of the...
that's really kind of a good example,
you know, yeah,
like, of the difference between the anxieties of white liberals.
I just thought of it. I'm just thinking of someone walking up to you like, so, how do you make the sushi here? I don't fucking know.
I'm buying the bar right now, motherfucker. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I'm the bartender, asshole.
Did you teach these guys how to make the sushi?
Oh, really? From sushi chef to bartender? That's a great game. Like, no.
Right? It's even worse. Like, don't patronize me, you bastard.
Or like, oh, you speak English really well.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that happen before, too. Yeah.
Oh, have you gotten that? I've gotten that before.
No one's ever said it to me because my English...
Yeah.
Is too advanced to be foreign.
Actually, kind of. It doesn't happen to me anymore. But when we were in like high school, and then you throw a word like resplendent at them, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on."
Yeah, because like people are like, "Where are you from, Diz?" I'm like, "Oh, you know, from Afghanistan. My family's from Afghanistan." They're like, "Oh, you speak English really well." I was born in Virginia, bitch.
You know, like, well, I have a very passive aggressive. Like whenever someone goes, "Where are you from?" I know what they mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always go Virginia.
Yeah, me too.
And then they're like, "Oh." No, where are your family from? I'm like, mostly Virginia.
Yeah.
No, where are they originally? Like, I make them go through the loops to prove that they're an asshole, right? And they're like, no, where are they originally from? Oh, my parents? Oh, yeah, they're originally from Kabul. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear them. I'm like, I'm not. Right? It's like, I'm kind of very unapologetic about who I am.
You should be like, you know, if you believe in the outer Africa theory, you know, we're all from Africa.
But I usually turn it around, like, instantaneously. They go, oh, where are you from, Virginia? I'm like, oh, I'm from Virginia. Where are you from?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you know, I'm from Minnesota. No, where are you originally from?
Like,
where are your parents from?
My family's Scotch-Irish.
Well, yeah, my family's Scotch-Irish. Oh, really?
I'm a suck with
chances
Brexit,
of you coming over on the Mayflower, a slim to numb asshole.
That's like your own form of like real life subtweeting.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm all about, I'm the king of passive aggressive. Go. Yeah. It's actually not passive aggressive. It's actually pretty aggressive.
Yeah, it's just in its own way. Yeah.
It's just nicely aggressive. I prefer to call it Ali's polite "fuck you, kung fu."
So it's not microaggressions.
No, it's Ali's polite "fuck you, kung fu."
It's aggressions, but you know, it's nicely dressed up.
Mm. I'm gonna trademark that. Ali's
micro kung fu.
Go fuck yourself, okay. Kung fu.
Micro kung fu. Go
GFY kung fu.
Go fuck yourself.
you're actually like spelling it out and writing it down on a piece of paper.
Hashtag
right now.
#AGFYK.
Oh, we need to change that.
Stupid.
Agafakuf.
Agafakuf.
Yeah, there we go.
I like it.
So, Hillary Clinton. Speaking of go fuck yourself kung fu.
Wait, I heard you're running for president.
I am running for president in 2020.
Yeah, you and Kanye.
Yeezus? Yeah, with
this
Yeezus.
Is my no. You put Yeezus. I refuse to accept someone.
I just said West. It could have been Cornell.
Someone so stupid as my running mate. No, I posted on my Facebook, and it's gaining a lot of traction. Yes. Fortunately, I was bored. I usually put up something annoying just to piss people off. I wrote, "Dear friends, I am honored to announce that Diz, everyone can hear you fat fuck eating that candy.
You don't yell at V for eating the candy
because his isn't making all that crinkling noise.
It's the same candy.
I just body shamed him publicly.
God, you're like that Danny Mathers chick. Yeah.
So
I like my candy. Fuck who? You.
Danny, you didn't hear about Danny Mathers?
Oh, who's that?
I was a Playboy model who also like had a show to the show.
Yeah.
She Snapchatted while at a Crunch Fitness, like in the locker room, like some old.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and she sent it out. I didn't
know she was
story.
A Playboy.
And then, you know, she basically got railed on the internet over it. And then her apology was so fucking stupid because she went, you know, I love the woman's body. That's why I do what I do. And that Snap was meant to be private, but I don't know how to use Snapchat.
Whatever.
So everyone's all like, bitch, just because it was meant to be private doesn't make you, redeem the fact that you're a shitty person. Yeah. And now they're talking about bringing charges up on her because she's not allowed to be recording people in the locker room. Like, yeah.
That is actually really shady. So
fuck you, Danny Mathers.
I didn't know that was a Playboy, whatever.
Yeah.
So
she lost her show, too, that she was on.
I announced that dear friends, I'm honored to announce that I'll be running for president for 2020. And together, with your support, we can abolish democracy and the abomination that is kale.
Mm.
That sounds like that platform of abolishing democracy and kale like encapsulates all that I stand
for.
Well,
we really
in life.
Need to abolish runaway kale usage in the West.
There's too much kale. Kale's it's witchcraft.
What's your issue with kale?
It used to be a garnish. Yeah.
So that's your issue?
You used to get it at cheap seafood restaurants with a lemon wedge.
It's an uppity garnish. It should know its place.
Seriously.
It was a garnish. Suddenly, all of a sudden, it's a main
dish.
Listen,
okay.
You have a strong prejudice towards kale.
I have a real
spinach and arugula lives matter too, okay?
Yeah. I'll get all sorts of angry that somehow that thing that I discarded when I had a steak or whatever is now like a main.
They put kale on your steak?
I don't know if they put
no,
kale
because
on my steak.
Okay, so if you ever went to like a cheap restaurant,
they put kale on.
They would like the kale was that lettuce leaf, or they would put like lemon wedges and cocktail sauce and shit on.
Oh, I remember that.
It would be that garnish thing on
You've
the dish
kale,
that was dry
as
fuck.
No, I never had kale.
Kale isn't.
I've had kale like liquefied.
Kale tastes like shit.
Well, I've had a kale and spinach salad once. That wasn't any
good. That's a waste of time.
Everyone's into the kale Caesar now.
There's a lot of kale stuff.
Kale Caesar became the thing because I think it sounds like Hail Caesar.
There's kale chips. I heard those are good. They fed it to like some vatos
to what?
Some vatos. You know, like the Mexican hoodlums.
I thought you were talking about some type of creature that I was unaware of.
It was on YouTube. Vatos eat kale chips.
Oh, I've seen that one actually.
And they're
before.
Like, this is pretty good, man.
I can't stand kale. Not because I've ever actually had it.
You never eat kale?
I don't think I've ever had it. To be honest with you, I don't think I've ever tried it. I just hate it because it seems to be like the thing all white people do.
So you're just anti-white?
No, I'm not anti-white.
You're very much banter. Anti-white.
I'm very much like anti-hipster.
Hmm.
I'm anti what white people on the West Coast do. Like white people like Southern fried food. I'm okay with that.
What about surfing?
I don't mind surfing.
That's
sure.
What white people in California?
Go for a surf. If you want to get your ass eaten by a shark, none of my business.
What about tank tops? What about tank tops?
I'm okay with tank tops.
Flip flops.
Flip flops are, I can't stand Uggs. Maybe it's I have a deep hatred of what white women in Southern California do. I hate Uggs and I hate kale. I can't stand Starbucks.
Really?
What about skinny margaritas?
Pumpkin spice
I don't even
latte.
Know what a skinny margarita... What's the difference between a fat margarita and a skinny margarita?
A fat margarita has roses, sweet, and sour in it, which is a bunch of sugar and stuff, whereas a skinny one is made with fresh lime juice and occasionally a Splenda.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I just said something and I forgot. Pumpkin spice latte. How do you feel about
that?
That stuff's gross.
I'm a hit or miss. I like pumpkin spice stuff. I just don't like the pumpkin spice latte.
Have you
latte.
Seen the syrup for the pumpkin spice latte?
So like, I like it's other gross. Pumpkin spice stuff. Like pumpkin spice.
Like muffins?
Yeah, muffins.
Those are really good.
Pumpkin spice donuts.
Yeah, baked goods.
Yeah.
It's not the latte. It's like, it tastes chemically. Have you ever had it?
It's too sweet for
me. It tastes like chemicals to me. It's a weird aftertaste. Has anyone noticed that? It's a weird aftertaste.
Can you literally not even?
I can't. I hate that when people say that. I literally can't even. What does that mean?
Can't even, literally.
What does that mean?
They literally can't even.
But yeah, but I don't. What? Why? What?
They just can't even.
What does that mean?
Literally.
I literally can't even with this conversation.
Like, literally.
Shut up.
You know what? I don't understand. I was at a Starbucks the other day, actually, talking about this. And, I was writing for my blog. And there was these two girls that were next to me. They were pretty young. And they sat there for 45 minutes just swapping their faces on Snapchat.
Ooh. Yeah, that's another thing I see a lot of. I told you guys about this, right? It's like, I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah.
When, like, I'm not that old, right?
Are you sure?
I'm not that old.
You look that old.
I'm in my... Yeah. I just turned 30. I was about to say I was in my 20s, but I'm not.
You're chronologically 30, but we all know your soul's thousands of years
old.
Yeah,
but like the point I'm trying to make is like I remember a time when a professor walked into a class and people were talking, right? Now when I walk into a classroom, they're staring at their crotch.
But I have to text Bae, bro.
It's like it's a weird, like there's this weird antisocialness, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like no one wants to talk to the person sitting next to them. And I'm like, that's fine, but... Like, don't stay. Like, it's just weird to me. You know what I mean?
Well, what about Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
That's been bringing people together.
Yeah, sure.
I stare at my crotch and smile.
Anyways, as I was saying, that was the status alert. I don't know why you brought up the status alert. It just derailed the conversation.
What status alert?
My status update, whatever.
I just said you were running for president.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of white women and running for president, Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
So, yay or nay?
You know, I'm not. I don't much care for politics personally, but at this point,
here's the question: why? Like, what is it that you don't like about her?
Well, honestly, I think she embodies kind of that. I mean, the same regime that this country's been running under for the past 200 plus years.
Mm.
She also represents kind of what that. It's like, yeah, she's technically left leaning, but she represents that kind of corporate sellout career politician thing that we've been trying to rally against with Bernie's movement.
But
in that sense,
is Bernie really?
He's not really per se, but I think.
I mean, a guy who's been in office that long is not an outsider.
Yeah. The thing I think for me, though, is the fact that it's going to be just more of the same shit. You know, and it sucks because with the Obama administration. You know, it was a lot more. I think we were talking about this last night. We were a lot more enthusiastic when President Obama was coming or bring President Obama to office because he kind of was able to rally people. But it's like now, given the history with our politics in the past 8 some odd years, mm-hmm. we've become so jaded now just because of all the shit that the poor guys had to deal with from the other side.
So my views of Hillary Clinton are slightly unfavorable. I don't find her trustworthy. There's a like
why not though?
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of sketchiness with her.
But see, this is what I'm kind of getting at. Is like, well, no, she's been treated horrifically.
No,
because
I don't mind her politics.
No, it's not even just politics. This idea that she's untrustworthy. Name something that she's done that no other politician has done. That
but
Obama
she,
didn't do. That Clinton
caught.
Didn't do. That everyone else hasn't done. What? Like what? What?
The only problem is she got caught.
Caught doing what?
Like with the whole like DNC like email scandal. Right?
That's not her though.
Is she
not
part of it? The DNC is
the Democratic Party.
Is the party.
And it reflects
not her.
On her. And then it reflects on her for hiring that chick, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
This is this. I think this is what the Bernie Bros like you don't get. It's like the DNC leak doesn't reveal that she's corrupt.
I didn't say
it
she's
corrupt.
It
reveals that the party is corrupt.
I didn't say shit.
Which we already kind
of
knew.
The party, we knew. Of course the party's going to be manipulated and favorable towards someone.
I didn't say she
but how
is corrupt.
Yeah, but you just said she's untrustworthy.
I said
based
untrustworthy,
off of
different.
That.
I said
but that's
like
not
that.
Her. She's not. She never sent a single email. That's Debbie.
But then she hired Debbie. That's...
She didn't hire Debbie. She appointed... Debbie is still part of the Democratic Party. Everyone gets onto the ticket and goes in campaigns. Obama's campaigning for her. Biden's campaigning for her. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is the kind of hypocrisy that the public has towards her because she's a female.
It's not because she's a female.
It is because she's a female.
It's not why.
You say that it's not why, but I think the prejudice she faces is fundamentally because she's a female. She's done nothing different than any other politician.
It's not
other politicians that you admire. Same thing. She's no different than Obama. Please explain how she's radically different. She's done anything particularly radically different from Obama. The only major difference between her and most of the politicians we're used to is she does something from a different strategy. Some argue that this is a female strategy, though I wouldn't. That essentializes that there's something inherent about it. She's a coalition builder rather than a charismatic person. Mm. We're used to kind of the Obamas, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of stand out there and they're very charismatic and they're charming and they lead. Where she did the hard work, and that's what her husband kind of points out. So the reason she's successful today is because she did the kind of unsexy work of coalition building, of working across aisles and making allies over years and years and years and years. And that's what brought her up to today. That's the only real difference. At the end of the day, she hasn't done anything that no other part. Look, I'm not saying she's not corrupt. I'm not saying that she's not untrustworthy. I'm saying that the rap she gets is unfair because fundamentally she is as trustworthy as other politicians. I see you talking about other politicians too, and I'm often surprised. I mean, there's no much difference between her, the way she works and the way Bernie works. Their politics might be different.
Mm-hmm.
Their politics might be very different. Bernie is definitely more left-leaning than her. But Bernie does the same kind of stuff that she does.
As far as
coalition building, as trying to slight things in his favor. That's a given. You don't get to where you are in politics with that by being pure. And Bernie is certainly not pure in the way people think him to be. Two politicians that are truly pure. One is the president of Uruguay, and the other is Jeremy Corbyn, the labor leader. Britain, the president of Uruguay, what was his name? You looked it up.
Yes, Jose Pepe Mujica.
Mujica, yeah.
Hola, yo soy Mujica.
He's picked up a couple who was hitchhiking.
The man's a badass.
He's
90% of his salary donated to charity.
Lowest paid president in the world.
What?
Yep.
Lived on a farm.
Okay.
Drives a 1987 Blue Beetle, VW Ooh. Beetle. Picks Ooh. Up hitchhikers.
That's a Nazi car.
Really?
Volkswagen. It was made by the Nazi
this
engineers.
Was like there's only really two politicians. That's why I say that.
But what about Hamid Karzai?
I mean, no. As much as I may not like Hillary Clinton because of specifically her foreign policy, I think that her treatment has been unfair.
I mean, I can agree with you that she does get a lot of slack, or is that the word I'm looking for?
Flack
for like being who she is. And I can see a lot of it being because she's a woman. But, like, I don't dislike her because she's a woman. I mean, like, I find her untrustworthy because of some of the shit that she does.
No, see, that's what I'm saying, though. That it's not that you don't go, I don't trust her because she's a woman. It's because she's a woman that she's gotten that rap.
How so?
What has she done that is fundamentally different from any other politician?
I mean...
Nothing.
Like I said, I brought up the DNC thing earlier, and you said that wasn't her. But
yeah, the DNC,
you
know. Her email's not her. She's not even like there's not a single email from her to the DNC.
I don't
DNC.
Know, man. It just kind of looks bad on her part. That's my thing. It just a lot of shit looks bad.
That's the thing, though. A lot of politicians have done all sorts of things, but because of who she is as a person, because she's a female public figure, she is, and she's ambitious. You know, because whenever a woman is ambitious in particular, we find her untrustworthy.
But, like, I like Elizabeth Warren a lot.
Yeah, but she's not. She doesn't represent ambition.
How so?
She's a professor who was forced to become a senator.
I don't know.
But you have an actual person who's a career politician. People hate her. But for no one, you take the email scandal, right? Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not saying she didn't do anything wrong. She did. She made all sorts of mistakes with that. But she didn't make any mistake that the previous Secretary of State didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Powell, and yet somehow, she's treated as some type of unique problem. How many emails disappeared under the Bush administration? Millions. Not thousands. Millions.
Hey.
Did we have any committees on that?
I got a question.
Do you remember
for you.
Any committees?
How many emails disappeared under the Reagan administration? Zero, Ali. That's why Reagan was the best.
Right, because there was no emails back then. So the point I'm trying to make is that as much as you can disagree with her on a variety of different things, I think a lot of her reputation as untrustworthy, as somehow cold and calculating, this is all based off of the fact that her people critique her, uniquely critique her, because she's a woman. Hmm. She's been treated unfairly because she is a strong, ambitious woman.
I won't deny that. I can't deny
that. That's where the reputation of her being untrustworthy. The reality is she's far from untrustworthy. In fact, the fact that she has such a long-storied career proves that she is trustworthy.
Mm.
That she was a decent senator, that she was a decent secretary of state, that she was a decent candidate for president.
But I don't want decent. Great again.
So like my problem with her is like, if people want to critique her, critique what you specifically disagree with her. None of this kind of reputation shit. This reputation shit is based off of an unfair treatment of her. What I would call, what has been called the Hillary standard.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a different standard than any other politician has held at.
Her bullshit character assassination.
Yeah. Well, like, I love that, like, they always talk about how, you know, she's untrustworthy. And this comes from like Newt. Who's cheated on all three of his wives.
Didn't he kill a hooker?
I don't know if he killed a hooker.
I could see him killing a hooker.
But he did. He cheated on every single one of his wives.
Yeah.
He cheated on his first wife with his second wife. He cheated on his second wife with his third wife. He had a mistress. He's like, and then, mind you, all while overseeing Bill Clinton's impeachment.
And he killed a hooker.
I don't know about the hooker thing.
I'm going with it.
We're
going
to say alleged because I don't know what happened there. And
he allegedly killed one, or he killed an alleged hooker?
And killed an alleged hooker and allegedly killed an alleged hooker. Both. I don't want to offend the hooker, and I sure as hell don't want to end up getting a libel lawsuit. So I'm just going to cover all my bases.
Oh, Newty, you're named after an animal.
It's a lizard.
Yeah, he is. He's a slimy little lizard.
Amphibian.
Slimy little bastard. You know what I mean?
Fucking piece of shit. So it's either him or the other, Tim Kennedy.
I also, on the other side.
Tim Kennedy's a fighter.
On the other side, I'm also not overly fond of like the Bernie bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think
a lot of their critiques of Hillary Clinton is pretty
misogynistic. It's kind of ridiculous. The same thing with like the Bernie or bust people. Like, I understand like their love for Bernie, but
politics is a cult of personality.
Yeah, but like the need to like burn the house down because your person didn't get chosen.
That's not how democracy works.
It's just
democracy works.
To dumb it down a little bit more, it's like burning down your own house because somebody won American Idol that you didn't vote for.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
I mean, I think Seth Meyers said it brilliantly, right? It's like, you don't, like, he didn't manage to get a date with Rihanna. That doesn't mean he's going to burn his house down because he ended up with his wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, which is a really fucked up thing to say about his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's sleeping on the couch for a month after that comment.
It was worth it, though, so you can quote it on the podcast.
Look, there's something really fascinating about. Look, I'm not saying don't protest. I was very happy that a lot of people protested during the DNC.
No, yeah, that's good. They should.
Yeah, that's what democracy is about. You should protest, and I'm not going to silence protesters, right? People were shouting no war. Yeah, I can get fully behind that. My issue with the Bernie bros is a couple things. One, the Bernie bros are heavily, seriously misogynistic.
I hate
they also
call
have
Hillary
a lot
bitch.
Of like this white liberal race condescending racist shit going on too. Oh, black people don't understand Bernie because or black people didn't vote for Bernie because they don't understand him. And I'm like,
what?
No, that's not what happened.
I had a lot of black friends who were supporting Bernie.
But you hear this kind of like condescending racism thing, right? And you see a lot of misogyny there. So those are the two things. But the third and main thing for the Bernie and bust kind of crew is that you're only Bernie and bust because you can afford to be Bernie or bust. Because you're a safe, white liberal. Because if Trump were to be elected president, sure, he might inconvenience you A little bit.
He's not going after any white liberals, though.
Right. He's not saying that he's going to deport white liberals.
I have a question for you, V. If Trump becomes supreme overlord of the United States, will you move to Afghanistan and do a podcast with me and Ali there?
I'm not. Who said I'm going to Afghanistan?
Then you going to get sent to Afghanistan, bro.
I'm leaving to England. I just came back.
I was not overly impressed. People like you is the reason why Brexit happened.
I'm not overly impressed.
They don't want you either, cuz.
London loves me.
I don't know, bro. Brexit don't love you.
They just had a Brexit.
So I'm going to get deported, but because they don't know what the hell they're doing, I'm going to end up in like Thailand or something instead of Vietnam.
Ends up in Korea.
They don't know the difference, V.
I'm going to send it back to Korea. Okay, well, whatever.
Close enough. Dim sum. I'll take it.
This is what I mean, right? Like,
dim sum is Chinese.
You can stand kimchi. It's one thing to be very principled. But if you can't see bigger pictures, right? If you're like, no TPP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's fantastic.
I support you.
But if you're saying that at the risk of allowing Trump to become president, you've lost the bigger picture. And you're in a safe place.
I have a question for you, Ali.
Yeah.
What do you say to those who say, don't tell me I need to vote for the lesser of two evils. I should vote my own, like, whatever I want to vote.
Your vote is electing a dictator. Your vote is coming at the cost of brown and black people in this country.
So, like, when, like well, let's say, like, another brown dude.
I generally don't see a lot of them.
A lot of brown dudes.
If they do it, then they're just stupid enough because they don't know their own self-interest.
I'm voting Jill Stein. I'm voting Gary Johnson.
Then they're stupid.
Yeah. So it's like, I tell my friends in Virginia who are brown, because I have a lot more brown friends in Virginia than you do, who are like, I'm voting for Gary Johnson, or I'm voting for Jill Stein.
First of all, I don't know if a brown person is voting for Gary Johnson, they're a moron.
No, oh, yeah, I know a lot of them, because he's a libertarian, and they think they're libertarians. Though.
Yeah, well, all your friends are idiots.
Yeah, well, it's just like two.
Okay, they're both idiots.
Okay, it's fine. But I was like, listen, you live in a swing state, all right? Your vote matters a shit ton, because you're voting in Virginia. Like, you need to go out there and fucking vote against Trump by voting for Hillary.
These are people that don't see bigger pictures. And again, they probably have all sorts of misogynistic hate against Hillary. They can't give you a valid reason. And when I talk to Hillary people, those type of people, I understand. I was like, what is the issue? And it's the same thing you say. Oh, she's untrustworthy. But then once you probe, they can't find it. There's no actual reason. It's a feeling, right? The problem is that, look, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not particularly happy about it. But we live in a particular type of representative democracy in which there are two viable parties. Now, you can work within those parties to change the platforms. For example, you can make one platform more and more progressive or not. You can hold your party accountable. You can do all sorts of things. But when you start doing things like protest votes in a time when it's so crucial, then you're a moron. You can do a protest vote any other time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have someone who has put forth a series of policies that involved eradicating the pulling away from our alliances across the board, banning Muslims, banning people based off of their religion, building walls, deporting 11 million undocumented. That's when you realize that there's so much more at stake here. And I think President Obama, when he addressed the DNC, did a fantastic job with this. When Obama gave his speech, right, one of the things that he pointed out was that this is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democrat issue. You're not voting for red or blue. You're voting on the future of this country and who can handle it. And that's the point that I think the Bernie and Bus and these people that are making protest votes don't get, that this particular election is unique. It's not the same as other elections. We were going to be okay under Mitt Romney. We may not be happy. We may grumble. We may not like his policies.
We may have had four wives.
Yeah, we may have had issues. Right? Stop being offensive to the Mormons, okay? Like, we could do all sorts of things. But he wasn't deporting people. He wasn't going to build walls. Under Trump, there's another level of risk involved. There's a cost involved that I have an issue with protest votes. You know what I'm saying? Look, we've come to this point, and I'm sure some people will disagree with me. Look, I'm that person that generally would be like, yeah, protest vote. right? Uh-huh. I'm not a fan of this two-party system. I don't fit into the parties quite well myself. I'm very anti-war, and both of the parties are neocons when it comes to foreign policy, right? So I'm a serious progressive that doesn't have a true progressive party to stand. But I'm not going to sit there and make a protest vote when my vote may end up costing my fellow brown and black people.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely. I've never strongly disliked a candidate.
I strongly dislike you.
Yeah, but you have to like deal with me because I'm your family. So like deep down, you fucking love me. That's
not true. I don't have to deal with most of my family. Shut up.
Deep down, you love me. I'm your favorite family member, minus your sister, and that's a fact.
I don't play favorites.
Granted, it's not like It's not like it's like being like the prettiest like person at like the Miss Montana like.
What? Wow, we just lost all our Montana voters. Thanks.
Montana, what are you even talking about?
I don't know. I didn't want to be as like offensive, so I went with Montana.
Yeah, you're gonna say something really offensive. I knew you were gonna say something super offensive.
But you know, like
I was like, oh shit, here we go.
But I didn't.
That's it.
I didn't say
this is the end of Curly Nerdy. I knew this was coming
when
I asked him to be on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. But
this dumb piece of what?
Okay. Like I strongly like vehemently.
Look, the reality is that I don't hate Trump. Trump is playing a big con.
But I dislike everything he stands for, or he claims he stands for.
It's a con. What he's doing is one big reality TV show about him.
It's because he's a Russian.
And the average voter, the average American has fallen for it because you have a system that has devalued education, that has fail to provide accurate information. When you have low information voters that have been produced from an education system that has been under assault for decades, from a media apparatus that is run by market economics, so it's interested in being the news rather than reporting the news, this is the end result. You get people who are not interested in fact, who are unknowledgeable about their own government. I mean, Obama said it fantastic. We are not a people who want to be ruled. And yet the Republican Party, that's supposed to be a deeply conservative party, is selecting someone that is an autocrat. He is a guy who represents literally big business,
authoritarian,
big government authoritarianism, something that they're supposed to reject.
That's the problem. Is like, I had a friend who's like strongly against Trump, and she's like one of the nice like white people that I know, right? And she was like, anyone who thinks that this country is in like anywhere near good hands with Donald Trump needs to educate themselves. And I said to her, I was like, look, the problem with Trump is that he doesn't appeal to the educated. I was like, you bring up facts, they don't mean shit because his followers don't care about it. You bring up his bigotry and they don't give a shit because a lot of his followers are bigoted.
Well, I mean, it's we live in a post-factual democracy. Right, so people aren't interested in those facts.
But people get their facts from fucking memes. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I feel like Donald Trump is just a fucking giant walking meme.
Oh, yeah, he is a walking meme. He's the comment section of YouTube come to life.
Like, literally.
He's the egg on Twitter that gave birth.
Like, it's somehow unemployment has risen from, like,
50% at one point. Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
And it's actually up to 50. Wait.
Yeah,
half the country's walking around unemployed.
Yeah,
do you know how that even looks like?
It went from like, you know, like him saying 15 to 20 to like
30. Well, today he just called Tim Kaine the governor of New Jersey.
What?
Yeah.
Last week?
Today or last week or whatever it was.
Yeah. He called him the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah. Wait. Or New Hampshire or some shit. And someone had to point out. I was like, no, it's
Virginia.
Virginia.
You son of a bitch. How dare you disrespect my home state and call us New Hampshire or New Jersey?
But this is the reality, though. This is a guy who literally called on Russia to hack the emails of Hillary Clinton.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure that's an illegal offense.
Let me ask you something here. All right? You're a historian. You study things.
I do.
Is that?
Yeah, that describes what historians do. Well done. Well done, lad.
Now,
is that what you tell people? What does Ali do? He's a historian. What does that mean? Oh, he studies things.
Yeah, literally.
Is that how you explain
he
what I do?
He researches and shit.
Well
Writes
done.
Stuff.
Well done, lad.
Blog posts. Cheers. And things like articles. Is that not like in terms for treason?
I mean, it can be. but like you'd have to really argue that he was deliberately asking to attack. I mean, people are calling it treason.
Is it not treasonous?
But the problem is that the media hasn't ever taken him seriously.
The
government hasn't really taken him seriously. There's a lot of comments. A lot of what he said should have disqualified him. The fact that he said that he was going to ban Muslims should have disqualified him. It is literally unconstitutional. I mean, there's no equivocation about this. There's no gray area about this. It is unconstitutional.
Right.
I mean, it very clearly says that there are no religious litmus test. Period. Done. Nothing else.
I don't know, man. This guy, I don't understand him. He makes fun of a disabled people or a disabled person, and people cheer him.
All of that should have also disqualified him. He would have revealed that he doesn't have what's known as the temperament for office. There's a lot that, like, this is what surprised me. I mean, that Russia comment should have, but we live in there's nothing unique. There's nothing normal about this. It's entirely unique. He should have been disqualified ages ago. Not just disqualified. A lot of things that he said should have crippled his campaign ages ago. I think you mentioned that Howard Dean made a PR, and that was the end of his...
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We used to live in this day and age with a PR.
But this time around, Donald Trump literally, and he said it himself, I could stand on the main street and shoot people, and I wouldn't lose a single vote, or it may actually increase my vote. He said that, and the fact is, the sad thing is, not only did he say it, but it's true.
Like, Trump voters... I know you're not listening to us, but people who know Trump voters, like, how dumb do you have to be to vote for this guy when the guy is literally saying, you guys are so dumb that I could do this and you'll still vote for me?
He's basically talking about the stupidity of his followers.
He questioned your intel. He says, I love the uneducated.
Yeah.
Verbatim. Like, really? And this is the guy that you stand behind? This is the guy that you rally behind with your stupid fucking hats? I swear, anytime I see one of those hats, I want to just go...
Yeah, but then that's the thing, though. Trump has become a symbol. It's less about him and more about what he represents. And he represents the reclaiming of a particular vision of America that is white, that is male, and that allows you to say racist things without being called racist.
Hmm.
He's given voice to that type of person. So they don't care that he called about all this other stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's not going to build the wall.
He can't
afford to build the wall.
I love the Mexican president. Right. He's like,
we're not going to build it.
I'm not building this fucking wall.
Yeah. Look, it's just that's the reality of it. But... they don't know. They don't care. It's it doesn't matter if this stuff is real or not.
It's just this imaginary bullshit.
It's all part of the sentiment, the feeling, being swept up.
Yeah, yeah.
In what? Racism and hate?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Like, I can't.
The RNC ended with fear. I mean, that was literally straight out of the dictator's handbook. The DNC countered it with his image of hope and strength and inclusiveness. I don't know if it's going to be successful. I mean, we're still going to see what the fallout of this Russian email thing is.
You know what my favorite, like, line was that the protesters were saying? Not protesters, but the people were saying to the DNC.
Dumb Trump?
No, love Trump's hate.
That's a very controversial, I think, slogan, because she uses his name. And we live in the era where any press... is good press. It doesn't matter if it's bad press. So she's reinforcing unintentionally his name. I don't know if that was a smart move. What she needs to do, she was smart, first of all, she would hire me as her advisor. Second of all, she would start pulling out the thing that will get under his skin the most.
His hands?
That he's a con artist.
His bankruptcy?
He's a con artist, yeah.
Did you hear what Jeff Ross said about him?
The bankruptcy thing. You have to hit him with the stuff that'll get under his skin. He's a bully. He's a little man that likes to pretend that he's big. So what do?
Talk about
you call
penis.
Him little, right? So what do? You call him. The first thing she should do is she should call him. She should wait until the debates and say, look, are you willing to vote for a commander-in-chief or an imposter-in-chief? and then hit him with that slogan over and over again in commercials, because it will make him lose his mind and flip out and lash out. And she needs to continue playing up the fact that he is a fraud and a failure. When you do that, it works. Guess who does that? Elizabeth Warren.
She
calls him a loser. And guess what? It works. You need to get under his skin in that way, because that's what he is. When you break the, when you have the courage to point out that the emperor is naked, right? Everyone else will then start to see it. The problem is you have the media and everyone who refuses to see that the emperor is naked. You have to be the first to go, that asshole is naked. He's not wearing any clothes.
He's just a wig.
Everyone else is playing the game, and she needs to point out. She needs to go, he's an imposter. He's not a, it's not that he's hateful. It's not that he's bigot. It's not that he's he's an imposter. He's a fraud. He's a man who's a con artist. He's not even a real billionaire. That's what you hit him with this. Yeah. You make him flip out.
Yeah.
You're a billionaire, release your tax records. Right? You get him to that point. You corner him in that moment. You get his anger to work against him.
Yeah. What about that Trump University, bruh?
See, this is why I should be her advisor.
I had a Trump steak. It sucks.
I know how to deal with people like this, and I know how to. I also know how to. This is how I convince people not to vote with Trump. When I talk to them,
I'd rather drink Flint water than Trump water.
I don't throw facts at them because they don't care. I tried it earlier on when I talked to people. I would give facts and I'd provide all these kind of examples, and it didn't work. But then instead, I pointed out. I was like, "Look, he said this about veterans." When I was talking to a veteran, I was like, "Wait a minute!" But he says this with women, and I'm pointing out facts. Well, it's economic policy. This, and this. None of it worked. They were committed to that wall. And so, what did I do? I started pointing out that he's a fraud. I'm like, he's not going to build the wall. He can afford to build the wall. Mexico said he's not going to build. How do you know he's going to build the? He's not going to build the wall because he's consistently failed. He's always gone back on his promises. He said that he was going to do this and cut this corner over here. He went bankrupt 4 times. Look at Atlantic City. Like, when I started pointing out the fraud thing,
they cussed you out.
That's when they're like, oh, yeah. Right? Because there's no answer to the fraud thing. I'm like, he's not even a real candidate. He's just going up. He's faking it. I pointed out that he very well may have given his VP-ship to John Kasich and made John Kasich do everything while he did nothing. And then when I started, that's when people are like, oh, when you point out the fraud angle, that's when America. That's when you hit Trump supporters.
Ah.
Because like him, they can't handle that. They think he's big and powerful.
They'll vote up and down the
you
ticket.
You point out that the emperor is naked. Which reminds me, this is a complete tangent and out of the way. It has nothing to do with politics. But I said the emperor is naked. Did any of you see the trailer for American Gods?
I watched it. I did not understand it, but I liked it.
You never read Neil Gaiman's book, American Gods, did you?
No.
It's a really good book. If you haven't read it, you should definitely read it.
What's it about?
It's spoiler, obviously, is in effect. But, I mean, it's not that much of a spoiler because I'm not giving away like what really
plot
happens.
Plot lines and stuff?
But American Gods is basically the story of a man named Shadow.
Shadow.
Who is released from prison.
Okay.
And he goes to work for a guy named Mr. Wednesday.
Aha.
And him and Mr. Wednesday go on a road trip, basically across this big, beautiful America.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Wednesday happens to be Odin, the Norse god, the Allfather, who you've seen in Thor as the father of Thor.
Yes, Hannibal Lecter.
No. The actor who plays Hannibal Lecter is what you mean.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter.
Not Hannibal Lecter.
It's Hannibal Lecter.
Wednesday is Odin's day.
Yeah. So
it's like Friday is Freya's day.
Who's
Frigg's
day?
Frigg's day.
Who's Frigg?
And it's not Odin's day. It's Woden's day.
Yeah, but
Woden's
Odin's day. Woden's
day. Woden's day.
Thor. Thursday.
Is that really true?
Yep.
Yeah.
What is Tuesday?
Tears Day.
Monday.
God of War.
Yeah.
What's Monday?
It's just I'm named after the moon.
What's Sun? Oh,
I'm named after the
what
sun.
What about after Saturnalia?
After Saturn.
Uh-huh. I'm learning things.
Yeah. So anyways, he goes and he's working. He goes on this road trip with Mr. Wednesday, a.k.a. Odin.
Okay.
And they visit all the old gods who have basically...
The seven?
Just old gods in general.
Not the seven.
Not the seven. The seven aren't the old gods.
They're the new gods?
Yeah, seven replace the old gods who are the gods of the forest in Game of Thrones. Stop confusing people.
I'm confusing myself.
Yeah, you're a dumbass.
Thank you.
Anyways, he visits the old gods, and you get to see like Egyptian gods and Norse gods that have all immigrated to America.
They've taken them?
They've immigrated to America, and they like live ordinary lives.
Well, Trump is not president in this book.
Finding the war on Christmas.
And they're basically, they declare war on the New Gods. And there's like, there's meant to, like, that's the whole point. Is like, he wants to reclaim the world from the New Gods. And the New Gods are like the internet, media, things like that.
Kanye West.
Kanye, well, no, but he would be part of media. So it's a, they've actually adapted this, and it looks like it's coming out in 2017.
It's the dude from Deadwood. Sir, what's his name?
Ian McShane is what you mean?
That's the one. Is he Sir? Ian is he a
McShane?
Sir?
I don't think, maybe he is. I don't know.
Damn Ian good McShane. Actor, but Ian McShane.
Who's in Deadwood.
Who's in one episode of.
Yeah, you use him a lot better than they did in Game of Thrones.
But in this one, he plays
Odin.
I was wondering if who they were going to pick for him. I thought Charles Dance.
I can see that.
A little more rougher Charles Dance.
I can see that.
Because Wednesday is kind of a rough and tumble. He's a very quixotic figure. He's kind of gruff, yet sophisticated. He's kind of big and burly, but he's also kind of sweet. It's like he's very complex. You love him and you hate him.
But people can't see Charles Dance in anything besides Tywin Lannister.
No, Charles Dance is in a bunch of stuff.
I know, but they can't see him past that.
I actually think Ian McShane's kind of robustness
helps
physically
him
helps
bit.
Makes him look more like an Odin than Ian.
Yeah, because Charles Dance
is a little bit more kind of lanky, you know?
You know what was dope from Comic-Con?
Hmm.
The fucking trailer for the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I'm looking forward to American Gods. It's one of top five Neil Gaiman books.
What TV the channel is it on?
Stars. It was originally supposed to be on HBO, but the script apparently changed too much, and HBO dropped the ball, and so it ended up going to Stars.
Something else is on Stars.
Stars has done a bunch of stuff. Like, Stars did that older series, like, even before Game of Thrones, they were trying their hands and stuff. They did Camelot.
No, they also did, whatchamacallit, the Spartacus.
Yeah.
Oh, they did do Spartacus.
Even before Game of Thrones, even before Spartacus, it was Camelot.
Ash versus Evil Dead. Is that on Stars?
Oh, I don't remember what network that's on.
I think it's on Stars.
That's got a huge following.
That's the one. That's
and
on
then
Stars.
There's yeah. also coming out, which is interesting because it looks like a really interesting interpretation, is Legion.
I saw that.
And you don't realize that it's really X-Men.
Mm. But they call him a mutant.
They say mutant and until it says at the, when you see at the end, it says like Marvel and you're like, oh, wait a minute, what the hell?
Didn't it say, well.
It does say Marvel.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Legion is technically X-Men.
Well, yeah, but he's Fox.
He's Xavier's.
But it's Fox. It's Fox.
It's FX. Fox and Marvel.
So it's like a little mix.
Joint thing. So he's technically Xavier's son, but they didn't. What they did is they didn't show any of his powers. They just showed a man undergoing some type of psychiatric treatment.
It looked good.
And then they mentioned that he was a mutant.
They said he could possibly be the
most powerful mutant. But this isn't an X-Men world from the looks of it. It just looks like an ordinary world.
True.
Like, did you notice that? Like the trailer was very. They didn't hint at oh yeah he's Xavier's son or anything like that.
But they did the same thing with Lucifer. Lucifer is like. I don't know why you don't watch the show. I think it's because you don't like the interpretation because you like the book, the graphic novel.
It's a very
novel.
Different Lucifer.
It is.
I enjoy the show.
Him going around solving crimes or whatever isn't exactly my...
In the comic books, while he's charming, he's not...
He's not, like, likable.
Yeah, he's not...
he's not a likable guy.
But he's not like...
he doesn't have like a...
He's not funny.
Yeah, like...
He's not a funny man.
He's actually pretty dour most of the time. Like, he's... He's kind of somber in the Lucifer comic. Like, the Mike Carey Lucifer is pretty... He can be somber. He's also just, like, really just...
He's over it.
He's, truthful to a fault, right? Like, it's his destruction of people is from the fact that he is truthful with everything.
How many episodes have you seen?
I haven't seen one episode of Lucifer.
Because it gets better towards the end.
No, but, like, I mean, the persona is a very different person. This is much more of a kind of lady killer.
Yeah, they gave him more kind of a slick,
yeah, Lothario. You know, like he's just kind of a happy.
I've seen clips of
charming,
it.
And I'm like,
and I'm not against watching it. I just never got around to
starting. Mazikeen is not. They showed Mazikeen in the new trailer.
She's really hot.
She's in it.
She's not Two Faced though.
Mazikeen's my favorite character in the. Mazikeen was my favorite character in
Mazikeen's the. Mazikeen's cool in the thing too, and then they have his brother Azanine.
Because Mazikeen in the series is like. Two-Face, right?
Skeleton on one side and then a human.
But they show that side. But it's like they're covering their demonicness.
She just wears a mask over it.
It's kind of, she's not wearing a mask over it. It's kind of like you can't see it. But like when she wants to show it to you, you could see it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The second season, it looks like they're playing up something, but
about his
Lucifer's mother. Mom.
Yeah, she escaped from hell.
Oh, yeah, they don't do bad. They don't really do much about it.
Yeah, it's like he's like, oh, she escaped, mom. Yeah. It's like, who's his mom? That, to me, it seemed like they were going the supernatural route.
Yeah.
Because the supernatural route went that way. They went, first you had Lilith, then you had Eve. Yeah. This kind of like female mother of all monsters thing.
Well, Mazikeen in the universe is a Lilim. So she is one of the daughters of Lilith. Along with like the Lilim are actually like their own kind of race.
So I assume that in this one we'll probably see mom is probably Lilith.
Probably.
But that doesn't exactly make sense entirely.
What the comic books?
Because Lilith was corrupted by
the devil.
The devil.
Yeah.
So, like she wasn't the first. She became corrupted by Samael, and then together they gave birth. So, like, technically, he's the mate of the devil, not
the mother.
The mother of the devil. So
Mike Carrot is an interesting thing about Lilith, like talking about her, because it's more of a I refuse to be a servant type thing.
Well, that was originally the original myth of Lilith is that, and it's actually not in the Bible; it's in the rabbinical commentary.
Yeah,
the Midrash that you see it.
Midrash sounds like an Indian dish.
She originally was the first wife of Adam.
Yeah.
But she refused to submit. And some interpret that as a kind of a physical act. Like she didn't like missionary.
She was
a cowgirl.
I like her.
She wanted to be on top.
Top, yeah. And as a result of her refusal to be in the missionary position and therefore in that symbolic position of submission, she was considered an unsuitable mate. And removed because she was created equal. This was explained because there's actually a contradiction in the beginning of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis, you see that in one verse, man and woman are created at the same time, and then a couple verses down,
created from the rib.
And so the rabbinic commentary explained that first woman was Lilith, and she was deemed unsuitable.
Yeah.
And so she was sent out of the Garden of Eden, and that's when Samael corrupted her. Had sex with her and they gave birth to demons.
Romulus and Remus.
No.
The she-wolf.
That's a Roman.
Can I name my kid Samael?
Cain and Abel.
What's the Muslim name for Samael?
I don't think there is.
Sulaiman?
No, that's Solomon.
Yeah. So you guys want to know the numbers for Comic-Con this year? The
numbers of what?
The numbers. Like the
attendees?
So $140 million for regional impact in San Diego.
What?
Direct attendee spending, meaning on passes and things like that. Over $82 million.
What?
Hotels and sales revenues, $3 million. Almost 63,000 hotel room nights.
Holy shit.
And then there was a total of 130,000 people in attendance.
What?
To San Diego Comic-Con this year.
That's absurd.
Pretty intense, right? And they also brought back some really cool things. You saw, like, the Power Rangers. Like, they're rebooting Power Rangers going hard. Like, a lot of the toy companies are doubling down on the Power Rangers stuff. They actually gave Walter Jones, who's normally kind of an afterthought at these other conventions as the Black Ranger, they actually put him inside of like an actual like big booth with I think a big company. So he was actually at the forefront doing a lot of marketing for the new Power Rangers movie.
Good for him.
So we're seeing that kind of come back. There's a great life-size model of Tony Stark in the Iron Man outfit. It's great. And then also Nickelodeon doing their they brought back Olmec.
From
Legends of the Hidden Temple, because they're doing like this, it has Olmec, and then also like the Rugrats on top, so it was like a 90s nostalgia type thing Nickelodeon's capitalizing on.
That's a lot of money.
Purple
Pearls. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Red Barracudas.
Really, yeah, and then, you know, just really cool. There was not a lot of Jesus people there this year, I noticed, which is kind of weird.
All at the RNC. You said that last episode.
Really? Okay. Not a lot of sign bears, but Slater 5050 actually went out there. There was guys in bacon outfits, and they've been holding the same yellow and black signs that says Bacon Saves on it. I know you guys don't know what that's like, but, you know.
I don't understand this swine that you're talking about.
Dirty Muslims.
Ali's not a Muslim.
That's true. And Conan O'Brien did some really cool stuff.
I'm the first Muslim. The last Muslim.
Yeah. So Conan does
And a Jew and a Christian.
You're fucking going to hell.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said you're blasphemous.
Yep. And on that blasphemous note, we're going to end the podcast. I think we kind of talked about a random assortment of things. Hillary, misogyny, and Comic-Con Part Dieu. We are very much looking forward to... What is the one thing you're looking forward to, V?
About what?
So, like, I mentioned, for me, American Gods, sort of Legion. But what is the one thing out of Comic-Con that you saw that you're looking forward to? Movie-wise, trailer-wise, book-wise, whatever.
Suicide Squad obviously had a big marketing push this time around.
Yeah, but Suicide Squad's kind of coming out in a few weeks. Like, what did you see new that you're like, yeah, I can't wait till 2017?
Well, this was a little bit more kind of a lackluster con for me because there wasn't a whole lot that I was, like, overly impressed with. Doctor Strange obviously is something that I was going to look forward to anyway. Mm. They're also doing some interesting stuff with... Guy Ritchie, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. It kind of had a lackluster reception, but I actually am. I love the sword and board type stuff anyway. Mm. I was a big fan of that. Also, there was, the Lego thing looks cool, but then also Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Snowden trailer that they showed, I think is going to be really interesting too.
Yeah, that's political, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And then, you know, the standard stuff, Wonder Woman, Justice League. You know,
yeah.
I'm a very standard guy. I'm excited for Justice League, Wonder Woman, and Lego Batman.
How about you take us out?
Lego Batman. You can find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/ God damn it, that shit's hurting my throat. Facebook.com/ currently ready. Go on there, like our page, make your friends like us, write in our wall, tell us some cool things, send us some DMs if you'd please. We're also on Twitter at currently nerdy. Hashtag of the week this week is hashtag, what was your stupid thing?
Hashtag AGFYKF.
There you go.
No one's going to type that out.
Ali, go fuck yourself, Kung Fu. Right? That's what it stood for?
Nope.
Yeah, something like that. We're on the Instagram. I'm currently nerdy on Instagram. Go on there, follow us, like our pictures, write some comments. Make V feel that he's special because he posts our Instagram posts. And we're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there, follow us. Reblog, write some notes. Fucking, you can't ask us anonymous questions, so don't do that. But do whatever the Tumblrite people do. Make ship Ali and V if you like, and I guess Tumblr people do that. YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. Go watch Ali's majestic voice as he narrates who will be on the throne, Danny or Jon Snow, and why. And make sure you subscribe and put some thumbs.
That's not my voice for the record.
Put some thumbs in the bums and give us some likes and whatnot. And comments.
And subscribe.
Yes, I said. That's the first thing I said.
Yeah, hurry up.
iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to us on that. Give us a 5-star rating. Say something nice about me, and I just might send you something nice. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Or as you can find me on my Instagram and Twitter at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my blog at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website, aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com, or you can catch me on Twitter at aaolomi, Diz.
You can find me everywhere in the world wide web at Dizbullah, DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you mock the disabled and tell Muslims they're not welcome in your country.